You know, Jesus would have had a hard time as a prosperity minister preacher. Jesus didn't mind saying what he thought. Sometimes that might be patting people on the back, and sometimes that was kicking people in the tail. You know, in Matthew chapter 15, 7 through 9, Jesus says, "Hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" You know, we often hear people say, they say one thing and they do another. Their actions don't match up with their words. And doesn't that drive you crazy? When people's actions don't match up with their words, that drives us crazy. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, the Lord asks this very straightforward question: "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Why do you say I'm your Lord, but then you live as though I don't exist? You know, those kind of things, I think, drove Jesus crazy. Well, let me tell you where I'm going with this. In America, 80% of the people claim to believe in God. I can't tell you who does, and who doesn't. I can tell you 80% of the people don't believe in the same God that I believe in. If that was the case, we would look a lot different in our nation. You know, this week I spent watching the news, and there was a lot of frustration built up. And, you know, Jesus hit the nail on the head when he said in Matthew 15, "The people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Folks, America has a heart problem. Our nation has a heart problem. And it's not just the people in the world, it's the people in the church. It's you and it's me. We have a heart problem in our country. And it's not a question many times of not knowing, not hearing. Bottom line is, it's a believing issue. And what I mean by believing is doing, because we do what we believe. If our actions don't support our words, we have a spiritual issue. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8, the part of what I want to concentrate on today, it says this: "For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle?" If the bugle blows an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? You see, in biblical times, a trumpet blew a call to war. In military situations, and we still know that today, the kind of sound gets a different response. Reveille. Hey, look, I use an Aggie word today in church. Every morning, the trumpet blows reveille. Every soldier knew what? It's time to rise. Go meet from formation. Taps. How's it? Yeah, however it goes. I'm not very good with music. You know what taps is. What's it? The day is done, right? It's bedtime. How about charge? You know what that? We're attacking the enemy. We're moving forward. We're advancing. And you don't have to... Nobody has to tell you which one of those three it is. When you hear it, you know what the message is. You know, an uncertain sound could bring about confusion. If you were in battle, you wouldn't play taps when you wanted to advance on the enemy. There's got to be a clear message. You know, there's so much going on today in our world, in the realm, not only just of church, but in the realm of leadership, that gives uncertain sounds in our nation. You know, we are certainly getting an uncertain sound from our leaders in Washington, D.C. Do they support law enforcement or do they not? I don't know. I wish I knew, but I don't know. Do they chase integrity or are we chasing voters?
Do we want to pass the buck or do we want to take ownership and responsibility? Is it their problem or is it our problem? Where are we headed in America today? Where are we headed in churches today? Where are we headed in our homes today? You see, it's a question of leadership, and leaders must give a distinct sound, a clear message. If there is no clear message, the people who follow have no idea what's going to happen next. We're certainly in a battle on how we will succeed if the trumpet blows an uncertain sound. Military men know that orders must be decisive, commands must be clear, and security must be vigorous. If you remember not too long ago in the war in Iraq, you see those checkpoints. They didn't know enemies from friends because they all looked the same. So security had to be tight. The checkpoints had to be strictly enforced. Here's where I'm going this morning. There are things in our church and in our lives where we must send a clear message if there is to be any success, if there is to be any hope in our churches, in our families, in our country. It doesn't matter what level, there has to be some clear messages being sent and received. First of all, we must send out the message that the Bible is God's Word and that it is true. There must be a clear message that the Bible is absolute truth. The Word of God can't be changed just because society thinks it should. The fads of society come and go, but the Word of God stands forever. And you know, we live in a time where the Supreme Court has taken a lot of liberties to tell us what's right and what's wrong, even when it comes in contradiction with what the Bible says is right and wrong. Things that we accept now aren't necessarily right just because a majority says so. Let me tell you, God is a majority of one. It doesn't matter if we want to vote on it as a nation and we say 99% people voted for it. If God is against it, it's wrong. And at the same time, if 99% are against it and God says it's right, then it's right. Because God is a majority of one. It doesn't matter how many are on the other side. The problem in Israel was every man did what was right in their own eyes. And that put him in rebellion against God. You know, if it seems like everyone else is doing it, it's got to be okay, right? Right? I mean you who have kids. You have heard that before. Everyone else is doing it. And so as a parent, we go, oh, okay, well, then you can do it. Right? No, of course not. But you know, that almost seems to be the way we make rules these days in our country. If it doesn't work in our homes, why should it work in society? Let me tell you, you know, just because the Supreme Court says, or whoever says it's okay for two men or two women to form a union, the Bible says it's not. God's a majority of one. You can change the rules of government, but all you're going to get is a society that's further and further from God. God uses His Word to show us as a path to success in life. He uses it to show the difference, not only in this life, but it also in the life to come, in our future, for eternity. What we need to do is read it, hear it, but most of all, we need to believe it. And what do I mean by believe it? I go back to the words, do it. If we really believe what the Bible says, then we've got to do what the Bible says. Otherwise, we don't really believe it. It's just good word on print. It's like Jesus was talking to that group of people and said, man, you hear, but you don't do. So we've got to believe the Bible. In other words, we've got to, whether it's the sanctity of marriage. You know, society will tell you, oh, you know, 30% of young people today decide to live together for marriage. Does that make it right? It makes it dead wrong. It is in opposition to God. Because He writes the rules of marriage, not man. It doesn't matter what society thinks. If it's in opposition to God, it's wrong. The Bible's a message of absolute truth in a time where there seems to be little or no absolutes. But it didn't happen overnight. The authority of God's word has been chipped away over a long period of time. You know, the media mocks it. There's a show, I've never watched it, but I've seen it advertised. It makes me mad just watching the advertisements. It's called Imposter or Impastor. What's Impastor? It's about some guy who claims to be a preacher or lives like a preacher, I guess, and then does whatever he wants to do. You know, that just chips away at what church and pastors and people of God are. Scientists doubt the word of God because they can't measure it. Government works to try to separate it. You know, I don't know how many years ago, but it used to be kind of a common thing for churches and schools to work together. You know, Ten Commandments were in the classrooms. I can remember teachers when I was in school that would lead class in prayer before the class started. And there was nothing odd about it. But you know, we've got all these Supreme Court decisions and we've got all this fear out there now. Man, we got to separate ourselves. Yeah, we've separated ourselves. Ten Commandments are off the walls and now we've got metal detectors at the door. Man, we're making progress, aren't we? You know what? We need to send a clear message that we believe the Bible. We need to send a clear message as Christians. Proverbs 25:26, like a trampled spring in a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. A polluted well, a trampled spring, is like a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. To give way before the wicked means set aside your standards of right and wrong. No one is helped when we compromise. No one is helped when we claim the name of Christ and we live like He doesn't exist. We need to send a clear message that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's what our standard is. It is right. It is wrong. You know, a lot of times we pray about God's will. Praying about God's will. I'm praying about God's will for a job. Or I'm praying about God's will for school. Or I'm praying about God's will for a mate. Or, you know, let me tell you something. Anytime you're praying about God's will, and God's will leads you in opposition to God's Word, then you're wrong. Because God's will never lead you in opposition to God's Word. So it starts with God's Word. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Get into God's Word and you'll begin to find it. Until you're into God's Word, you're flipping coins to decide what God's will is, spitting in the wind, so to speak. You don't have a clue because it starts with God's Word. Secondly, we not only must we maintain the message that the Bible is absolute truth, but we also need that the message of the church must be clear. You know, the church is not a building. The church is the body of Christ. We've been established by the Lord. Jesus said to those early followers, upon this rock I will build my church in Matthew 16. The church belongs to Him. We are His people. He's the head. We're the body. Not only did He establish it, but He empowered it. You shall receive power, Acts 1:8 says. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we have been established by Christ. We've been empowered by His Holy Spirit. And also, just so I can have another E word to throw in there, we've been employed by the Lord. Now, that seems an odd thing. Employed in the church? Yeah. What does an employee do? A task? A job? An expectation? Do you think God has expectations of the church? Do you think He has expectations of you as a Christian? Of course He does. Of course He does. Just like a boss would have expectation of his employees, the Bible says when you become a member of God's family, you become not only a child of God, but you become a servant. Faithful servant. You know, that's what the parable of the talents is all about. You know, the parable of the talents is that God gives his servants different gifts, and they go out and they use those gifts to bring him glory. That's the expectation when you come to Christ. It's not just, okay, I'm going to walk up the aisle, I'm going to shake the preacher's hand, I'm going to join the church, now I'm going to heaven. Woo, we're all good. Let me tell you, that sounds crazy, but there are a lot of people who believe that. We have had people through the years, 3 or 4 times, they come up and they join the church, and I'm telling you, that's the last time you ever see them. You know what it got them? I don't know either. Because when we come to Christ, we're part of his family. God has an expectation of us, a faithfulness, that one day when we stand before him, he'll look at us and say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." There needs to be a clear message of the church. So what is the message of the church? What does Christ want his servants to take to the world? Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and save that which was lost." And if that was his message, that was his purpose, I think that's a good place for us to start as well. That's got to be our message and our purpose. As Christians, we're to continue what Christ has begun. We're to continue his ministry. In Luke 4:17 and 18, Jesus took out the book of Isaiah, it says, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Today, Scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." You know what Jesus was saying? Just as Isaiah prophesied 800 years before, "I have come to set the captive free, to open the eyes of the blind. I am the Messiah." As his church, we are to proclaim that Christ has come and Christ makes a difference. As a matter of fact, Christ makes the most difference. You want a new life? The new life comes in Christ. Without Christ, you have no hope of a new life. He was boldly proclaiming the good news of the gospel had arrived. And let me tell you, I spent this week watching all, you know, just till I was nuts and couldn't turn off the news. All the bad news. The world needs good news. The world needs what the church has to offer, and you are the church. The world needs you wherever you are, your mission field, whether it be the school, whether it be the office, whether it be the field, wherever you come in contact with people who are not Christians, the world needs you to share the message because you're the church. They need a clear message. The government's inadequate to do it. Quite frankly, a lot of people offer counterfeit messages. Hey, if you can just be good enough, just be kind enough, if you just go to church enough, all of those come up short. You see, the answer is Christ. And that's what he was saying. Scripture's been fulfilled in your eyes. The Messiah has come. Jesus even said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me." The church must be clear in its message that Christ is the only way. Try hard all you want. Do all you can. But listen, you're not going to do enough. You're not going to be good enough without Christ. And that leads us to the third thing. The message of the church must be clear. The message of the Bible must be absolute truth. And finally, the message of salvation must be clear. What is the message of salvation? The message of salvation is this. God never intended salvation to be hard. We can trick it up all we want to, and we can send people through training classes to learn more. That's good. That's discipleship. That's not salvation. But when a person comes to Christ, it's real simple. When you get a gift, you see, because salvation is a gift, you're never going to earn it. Salvation is coming to the understanding, not what you will do, but what Christ has done. He's given the gift when he died on a cross. And at Christmas, when you open up a box, how do you... You just simply receive it. Somebody offers you a present, you just receive it. God has offered us the gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've got to receive it. Recognize we're a sinner. That's number one. All we're doing when we recognize we're a sinner is we're agreeing with what God has already said. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we recognize that we're a sinner. Secondly, we realize that Jesus died for those sins. Third, and this is key, is repent of your sin. A lot of times we have a repentance problem. What do I mean by repentance problem? We only repent because we get caught. We don't repent because we're sorry and won't change. When we realize and recognize that we're a sinner, the key step to salvation is repentance. And I'm not sorry I got caught. I'm sorry I'm a sinner. And I want to turn away from that and follow the Lord. That's key. You know what? That's key every day of your life after you receive Christ. If we're living in sin, or if we got sin in our life as a Christian, the illustration I heard that I kind of like, it's like you fall into it, you know, we sin and we might stick our foot in it, we want to get out. But it's a different thing when we sin and we jump in the pool and we swim around and enjoying ourselves, having a good time, separated from God. Repentance is key in your Christian life. It's key in coming to Christ, and it's key once you become a Christian. Do I want to be in a right relationship with God? If I do, then I've got to be repenting of my sin. You know, this morning, our world needs a clear message. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? I don't know about you, but as I watch what's going on in our world, there's so many sounds. And those sounds are all about me. Black lives matter. White lives matter. All lives matter. You see, it's everybody pointing at a particular group. And what I believe the world needs is a clear message. And it's the message of the gospel. It's the message that Christ cares. It's the message that, yes, you do matter. But it's a message of hope in a very frustrating world. What kind of message does your life send? Is there a consistent message that says Christ is my hope? That the Bible is absolute truth? I don't just hear it, I don't just know it, I believe it because I live it. Are you sharing the message clearly? This morning, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I encourage you to take that step of faith because you see, He is your only hope. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. And I know sometimes we frustrate ourselves because we know right, but we don't do right. Lord, we pray for your leadership in that area. Show us, Lord, where there are areas of our life that don't match up with what we know your word teaches. Lord, lead us to repentance and back in right relationship with you. Lord, our world needs the gospel. Our world needs hope. Not only of abundant life now, but of eternal life to come. We are your people. We are your church. Help us to be faithful to that task. Wherever we go, Lord, whoever we come in contact with, we are your missionaries, your messengers. Lord, help us to be faithful to the task. If there's anyone here today who needs to know you, give them the courage to step out, come forward, and get their life lined up where you desire, where they can expect blessing and not frustration. In Jesus' name we pray.